Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If your family is in trouble, it's not too late to cleanse the wounds and let healing begin. Today, how God blessed King David, an ineffective father like many of us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on reclaiming the family as he concludes a message on your family, root, stem, and branch. Even if our family is dysfunctional, God's resources can see us through.
There's an independence that the blessed Holy Spirit of God can give us. And I encourage you, develop that deep relationship with God, a satisfying relationship with God that says, just because my family is this way, there is something more important even. And that is that God grants me inner resources to put up with and to even benefit from all the dysfunction that is around me. So that's the third point. Whatever is broken should be fixed. Fourth, rejoice in God's grace in even broken families. Rejoice in God's grace. Look at how far we've come. The first lesson was that families are interrelated. Secondly, time itself does not heal family wounds. Third, whatever is broken should be fixed. Fourth, rejoice in the fact that God's grace is seen even in the midst of brokenness. We can see that in David's family. Isn't it gracious to think that God allowed David to write so much of the Bible that has blessed so many millions of people? I mean, that certainly was a mark of grace, despite the fact that he clearly failed as a father. God is very, very gracious. He allows us to be blessed even in the midst of failure. That doesn't get David off the hook by any means, but what it does is show that it's not as if everything is all one way or the other way, either all right or all wrong. In the midst of dysfunction, God gives grace. And then there's also grace in the life of Solomon. Now, strictly speaking, Solomon should not have been born because he is David's second child with Bathsheba, a woman that David should have never married. So we can say, Solomon, you know, you're not really supposed to be here, you know. I mean, you're a result because David stole your mother from somebody else and had the guy murdered in the process. So, but there's Solomon, and the Bible says, and Solomon was born, and the Lord loved him, and God even blessed Solomon for David's sake. And by the way, David had a closer relationship with Solomon, very clearly, than he did with his other children. Now here you have some sons who turn out badly, and here's a son who ends up writing much of the scripture as well, many of the chapters of the book of Proverbs, one of the wisest men who ever lived and one of Israel's greatest kings was Solomon. And you look at that and you say, amazing, coming from a family network that is as confused as David's was, that certainly is grace. And may I say that that is grace. Here's what you find. Sometimes you have a family system that is severely broken. Two or three members of that system go into all kinds of bizarre behavior, and they act out everything that the family was. But oftentimes what you find is that there's that grand exception. That grand exception that says, I'm not going to become a part of this system and let it destroy me. I'm going to make something of my life. I'm going to be different. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm thinking right now while I'm preaching of a minister in the Chicago area whom I know, who is doing a wonderful job and is a close friend of mine and comes from a very, very dysfunctional family. Strictly speaking, you look at his family, there's no way that this guy should be doing today what he's doing. But God's grace meets us at the deepest point of our need. For those who are willing to open their hearts to grace and forgiveness and help, God says, I'm going to lift you up out of your situation and give you hope and give you help. Even in the midst of brokenness, there is always grace that stretches like an elastic band to cover the need. There's a fifth lesson, and that is, be sure that you belong to the right branch of David's family tree. The right branch of David's family tree. I spoke about root, stem, and branch, and said that David is the root. Well, David, of course, is the root, but there was a root before David, and his name was Jesse. That's the name of David's father. And by the way, part of David's baggage was that he was a lastborn who was despised by his brothers. And he never really got the approval of his brothers, probably not of his father either. There's some evidence of that. So David took, you know, his own brokenness into his system. But here's what I want to say. In the scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1, it says that a shoot shall come forth from the stump of Jesse, that's David's father, and that this shoot is going to be a person who has the spirit of wisdom and love and greatness and power, and it's a reference to the fact that David stands in the line of Jesus. So you have Jesse, you have David, and on through you can trace the genealogies as they are given in the New Testament, and from this genealogy, with all of its brokenness, and you can see who is in Jesus' genealogy. I mean, the prostitute Rahab is there, Bathsheba is there. And in the midst of all of this, Jesus is born. And he's the branch that we must claim to belong to a more important family than even an earthly family. And I say to you today, no matter where you are, there is a heavenly family that God has given to us that we can enter through faith in Jesus Christ. One day Jesus was preaching and a huge crowd was around him, and some people wanted to get to him, and they said, "Master, your mother and your brothers want to talk to you." Jesus made an astounding statement. He said, "Who is my mother or my brother or my sister? But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." No matter who you are, I encourage you to belong to a family that really matters, the family of Christ. Go out there, and make a difference. There is a story about five young men who went into the Navy. In the Navy, of course, they had opportunities to be immoral and to embrace the world. Four of them did, one did not. And somebody said to him, "What kept you from all those temptations?" And he said, "It was a picture that I carried." "Well, tell me more." He said, "It was a picture that I took when my family said goodbye to me. My father was there reading his Bible with tears flowing down his cheeks. My mother was there. My brothers and sisters were there, and we were praying together." And he said, "I've kept this picture." And he said, "Every time I'm tempted, I'm saying, no, I cannot betray. I can't betray my family." And that kept him from absorbing the values and the pleasures of the world. I'd like you to visualize another family. I'd like you to visualize our Father who is in heaven, and a Son who has been given to us to die for our sins, that we can be reconciled to the Father. And that Son accepts us as brothers and as sisters and says, "Join my family." And I don't know how we can possibly be kept from the world more powerfully, with more encouragement and more help, than to realize that we belong to a heavenly family and we're en route to a different destination. At this moment, it does not matter who your father was, whether he was there, whether he wasn't. I mean, it matters, but just hang on for a moment. At this moment, it doesn't matter whether you're rightly treated or even whether you were abused. Yes, it matters, but ultimately, what matters most is the divine family to which you belong. And if you don't belong, the way is through Christ, who died for sinners just like you. Receive him and become a member of a family that really, really matters. Let's pray. Father, this message is given to many people who came from wonderful, good families, with good support, the intervention of a father in the midst of family squabbles. It also was given to those who came from moderately good families, but others broken families, some perhaps no family. And we ask in Jesus' name that you'll give wisdom and help and healing and redemption no matter where we find ourselves. Make, O God, this church a church of strong families that model your intention for the family. Bring about forgiveness. Bring about, Lord God, reconciliation that is based on forgiveness. And we ask that children will grow up in homes where they are loved and cared for, and that mercy and grace will abound. How desperately we need that in today's world. And for those who have never trusted you as Savior, make this an opportunity for them to open their hearts to you and say, "Yes, Jesus, I receive you to become a member of the divine family." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is Pastor Luther. Recently I had lunch with James Dobson of Focus on the Family and Josh McDowell. Discovered that Josh, whom many of you will know through his writings and through his speaking appointments, I discovered that he was brought up in a very abusive home. His father was an alcoholic who beat his mother mercilessly. In fact, as Josh told the story, it was really, really heart-wrenching. I said to Josh, "Now you're a man today who loves his wife supremely and loves his children. In fact, in many respects, you are a model husband and a model father. How did you become like that, given your background?" And immediately, he brought to mind a couple who befriended him in church, who took him in, who modeled what a Christian family really is like. And I thought to myself, that's the answer. In today's broken world, we need families in our churches who, in effect, adopt, I put that word in quotes, adopt those who are broken, those who are hurting, those who have never had good models, and show them that there is a better way to live. Yes, your family can be transformed by God through such modeling and by God's gracious grace.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer concluded Your Family, Root, Stem, and Branch, the fifth of seven messages on reclaiming the family. Next time on Running to Win, prepare for battle. Don't miss Countering the Culture. Reclaiming the Family can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.